Let's take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, please. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. It is a joy to be with you again. It really is. I think if we figured it out right, this is probably my 10th time here, and it is a joy. And I'm thankful for what God is doing. The best years of Anchor Baptists are yet to come. And just keep loving the people in your area. Love them to the Lord. Bring them in. Let them hear the gospel, okay? Christmas season is always a wonderful season, and wow, I remember when my son was just a little guy, he used to sing this song about what kind of gift could I bring to my Lord. Well, probably the greatest thing we can do for our Lord is simply do what he asks us to do. And the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is an elderly man, and he takes life and he brings it down to one simple truth. So if you take everything you have learned from this pulpit, family devotions, vacation Bible schools, guest speakers, and you could boil it down to one simple truth, we find the answer to that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, where Solomon, an elderly man, says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the final aspect of life. The next two words, say them out loud together with me, please. Fear God. Say it again. Fear God. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What does it mean to fear God? I'm a camp director, and when you leave an evening service at camp, you always walk back towards the cabins, and there's these little eyes that follow you. We don't even know what they are. It could be baby squirrels, rabbits, baby Tyrannosaurus rex. We really don't know. But sometimes the kids get really, really scared, and somebody will jump out and scream at them and all that. That's not the kind of fear it's talking about here. So how do you describe this fear? To fear God means to respect his holiness by hating what he hates and loving what he loves. Let me say that again. To fear God means to respect his holiness by hating everything he hates and loving everything he loves. Now you combine that with a wholesome dread of displeasing him. When you're a little kid, you obey mom and dad so you don't get punished, don't get a spanking, okay? But as you get older and you become a teen, you obey mom and dad just because you love mom and dad. And you don't want to disappoint them. You don't want to let them down. When we're young Christians, there's a lot about chastisement and correction we do not understand. But as you get older and you walk with God, folks, you just love your God so much. You don't want to disappoint him. You don't want to let him down. You dread even the thought of displeasing him. So to fear God, respect his holiness, hate what he hates, love what he loves. What does he promise to everyone who fears him? Go all the way back to the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1, please. Proverbs chapter 1, in every passage we read, you will find the phrase fear or the fear of the Lord in it. And here's some of the promises to those who simply fear God. Respect his holiness, hate what he hates, love what he loves, and have that dread displeasing him. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Obviously, as we respect this God, this creator God, who created the universe, we are answerable to him. Once we know that, he begins working in our hearts. We begin to know him. See how wonderful he is, how wicked we are, and then we can trust him for the forgiveness of sins. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And depart from evil shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God promises good health and strength to those who simply fear him. Literally, he says you have a strong belly button, but it means good health and strength. Chapter 9, verse 10, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I love this one. What is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing through the eyes of God. Wisdom is responding to life just like God would want us to. Right now, if you're a junior or a sophomore in high school all the way up to a senior in college, raise your hands real high. Raise your hands high, okay? All of you that are at that age, you are in the biggest decision-making times of your life. Big-time questions like who should I marry and what should I major in and who should I marry and what should I do with my life and who should I marry? All these big-time questions. And you wish somehow you could go outside and God just writes it out in the sky for you. Hey, Christian, you know what God says? You want this kind of wisdom? Here, I will give it to you. All you need to do is fear me. You hate what I hate and love what I love. You have that dread of displeasing me. I will give you this wisdom. Look at chapter 10, verse 27, Proverbs 10, 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You want to live a good long life? It's a promise to those who fear God. Chapter 14, verse 26. This is another one I love. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I meet teens and adults all the time. Say, Rand, I can't do it. I can't be consistent in my prayer life and devotions. I can't witness to my friends. I can't do what is right. I can't control my temper. I can't control my thoughts. Yes, you can. Every single one. You can live for God. You can get up in the morning and spend time. You can pray fervently. You can say no to temptation. You can say yes to what God wants. You really can do this. You say, Rand, how do you live with confidence? Fear God. Hate what he hates. Love what he loves. Have that dread of displeasing him. He will give you that confidence in life. Look at chapter 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. God promises contentment to those who simply fear him. Chapter 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. How do you stay away from the sin that seeks to control our lives? How do you run from the sin that comes in that wants us to love the sin more than we love our God? How do you do this? Fear God. If you truly hate what he hates and love what he loves, you have that dread displeasing him, you will want to run from evil. Chapter 19, verse 23. 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide, look at this, satisfied. So in a way, satisfaction guaranteed to those who fear God. Do you know what the world is looking for? I'm not even talking about Christians. The world wants contentment. They want comfort. They want long life. They want knowledge. They want understanding. They want all these things. And God says, here, Christian, here, I will give you these things. All you need to do is fear me. So how do we learn to fear God? And then how do we take that truth and teach it to those we love called kids and grandkids? Three very simple truths on learning how to fear God. Go all the way back to Proverbs 2. We'll find the first one. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek for his silver and search for his for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. This book is likened unto a buried treasure. Number one, dig in. Say it with me. Dig in. Learn to dig into this book. Treat it like a treasure every single day. You say, Rand, how do you dig in? He tells us. Verse 1, if thou receive my words. The word receive means to snatch or to seize, okay? So every time you walk into this auditorium, your pastor, who has studied all week long, gets up here to preach, say, Lord, give me one truth that I can snatch, that I can seize, to make me think differently and make me live differently. Lord, give me a truth from your word that will renew my mind. Look at the next phrase, and hide my commandments with thee. I think most of you know it. Psalm 119, verse 11, say it with me. Thy word have I hid in my, that I. How many of you believe that verse is true? Let me see your hands high. Sweet. This is a short message. Here's what we'll do. I'll pick three or four of you. I'll point to you. And what I want you to do is stand up and good and loud, I want you to share one or two of the verses that you've been memorizing in your personal devotions the last couple of weeks. As I promise you, whatever you're memorizing will be a great blessing to others, okay? Let's start over here with, everybody's looking away from me all of a sudden. I'm not going to call on anyone, okay? You know why? Because it'd be pretty quiet in here. And I'm not just talking to the kids either. You know, folks, we're not ignorant of what God wants. We just ignore it. We ignore it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that it might not sin. And we still get attitudes with mom and dad, brothers and sisters, and our kids. Thy word have I hid in my heart that it might not sin. And we still struggle with fear and worry and anxiety. Thy word have I hid in my heart that it might not sin. And we still are consumed with greed and lust. It doesn't make sense. God tells us what to do, folks. Dad, what would you do if your kids just looked at you and shook their head like, Dad, you can tell me what to do, but I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. Would that upset you a little? That's how we treat God. He tells us what to do, and it is amazing to me how many of us just say, well, maybe another time. Look at verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom. The word incline means to lean towards, to remove distractions. So when you're at home, where do you spend time with God? You say, well, Rand, normally I read during the commercials. Uh-uh, that doesn't count. Huh? I hope you have a set place and a set plan and a set time. If you don't have a set place, a set time, a set plan. If you don't, you won't. You might try to do a quick drive-through with Jesus where you get something real fast, quick, and easy. It makes you feel better. But you don't sup and dine and feast with him. You just say, hey. Verse 3, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. I've got 3 grandkids. I still remember when they were born. You know what they did a lot? Cry. Babies cry. Why? Because if they don't, they'll die. My little grandson, when he was like 6 months old, he's not going to jump out of the crib and go grab a steak and throw it in the grill, okay? They cry because they're totally dependent on mom and dad. Mostly mom. They don't cry, they die. Isn't it sad that we don't even know what it means to be dependent on God? We don't. We have things called pantries and refrigerators. We have things called 401ks and bank accounts. You know, we got everything we want. Physically, financially, but spiritually. Have you ever cried out to God? I'm talking about cry out to God. Where you don't even think about eating because you got a family member that's lost. And you want God to convict their heart. If we understand the fear of the Lord, we will learn how to spend time with him and cry out. Verse 4, if you seek for his silver and search for his for hid treasures. Now, I know I'm kind of crazy, but I always have thought it'd be the coolest thing to be hiking or hunting, going through the woods, trip, look down, somebody drops a bag with $2 or $3 million of cash in it. You know, that would be so much fun. It's probably not going to happen, but I've done a lot of study on buried treasure in Oak Island, and I got it all down, okay? And so during, I think it was 1878, Wells Fargo, get this, was hired to take a shipment of gold. It came from California, but it came over to Boston. And Wells Fargo was hired in Boston to bring this gold all the way down somewhere around Washington, D.C. $5 million in gold coins. Well, the way the story goes, they got somewhere around D.C. and the wagon was attacked and the money was stolen. The men were caught and prosecuted, but they never found the money. So I did a little bit more research and dug into some old libraries, and they got really excited when I got here yesterday because I think I know. I brought a GPS with me. I know where the money is. I do. I'm staying in a prophet's chamber. And if you go outside the prophet's chamber and go out that door from your fellowship hall there, and you go over towards the parsonage, but about 18 feet on, as you're facing it that side, whatever I am here, okay? 18 feet over to the left and then 6 feet in. That's where it is. And again, I've been busy last night. I was so tired. I didn't have time to go after it. But if you truly believe that story, tonight about 9 o'clock, you would sneak out there, turn your headlights. There's Pastor Joel. He's been there since 8 o'clock. Okay, digging away. And all of a sudden, everybody starts showing up. And then you hear Chris go, I found it, you know. And he goes, pulls out this box. And the lid comes open. And the coins are going everywhere. And everybody just backs up and say, oh, wow, it's good to know it's there. Let's go back home and get some sleep. I don't think so. You'd be beating on each other to get those gold coins, and everything you buy with is going to fall apart. It's going to need to be upgraded. It's going to go out of style. But one truth from the very Word of God can make the difference in your heart and your soul for eternity. Can keep you from getting a divorce. Can help renew your mind so you can live a more of a pure life. Dig into the Word of God. My favorite time is when I don't have to travel. No offense, I like being here and encouraging you, but I love being home. We right now have about 12 inches of snow on the ground. It's not even going to get over 20 degrees until probably April, so it's going to stay. I get up early in the morning. They say, what is one of the best things you ever did for your personal devotions? Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's great, okay? So I got my coffee and my Bible, got the wood stove going. I'm set. Years ago, when our daughter was maybe 3, I was up early one morning, about 6 in the morning. I'm sitting in front of the wood stove reading. Thought I heard her coming down the steps. So here comes Anna, and she has her crayons underneath this arm and her coloring book with all the Bible pictures under this arm. And she crawled up my lap, and I said, sweetheart, what are you doing up so early? She says, I'm going to have my devotions like my daddy does. So if your kids caught you spending time with God, Mom, Dad, have they ever walked in on you while you're praying? Did you know loving the Word of God is contagious? I'm serious. I get asked all the time, how do we get our teens to love the Word of God? It's not rocket science. Dad, Mom, you love the Word of God. One of the greatest things any dad can do for his wife and kids, one of the greatest things he can do is to get up in the morning and open his Bible and spend time with God. Do you understand, men, the confidence that a wife has when she knows her husband is daily in the Word? Do you realize what that does to the heart of a child when they say, my dad, he's in the Word? My son, he's 39 years of age. He's a professor in a state college, very busy. He's over the music department. I know where he is every single morning, about 5:45, 6 o'clock. He's in the Word. He has a son, Sebi, who's 7. So I'm sitting in my study. Sebi, he loves to come and scare me, make me spill my coffee. I had my Bible open to Psalms. He goes, Papa, Psalms, huh? Did you know there's 150 of them? I said, how do you know? He goes, Papa, I have my devotions too. I said, oh, really? Okay. So we had them together. The kid's 7. Bring your Bible. He brings it in. I'm reading here. He's reading in Joshua. I forget what chapter. He reads to me a whole chapter. I'm thinking, hey, he's a pretty good reader for 7. But obviously, I knew he didn't understand what he was reading. He's 7. I said, so, bud, what does that mean? He goes, Papa, don't you know that most people forget? They even forget what God does. So God told him to stack all those stones in a big pile, and every time you see the stones, you remember what God did. Like, duh, Papa, what's the matter with you? Dig into the Word of God. It's the greatest gift that you could ever, ever give your family. So to understand the fear of the Lord, number one, dig in. And you know why I say that? Because that's what God loves. Remember, to fear God means to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Well, what does he hate? Go to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll see the second part of this. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way in a froward mouth do I hate. Number one, dig in. Number two, despise sin. Say it with me. Despise sin. Folks, if we don't hate sin, we'll never, ever, ever defeat it in our lives. We won't. I wish I would hate sin more. I wish I would even begin to hate sin as much as my God hates sin. I grew up on a farm. How many of you live on a farm? Let me see your hands. Okay. How many ever been on a farm? How many ever sang Old MacDonald had a farm? Okay, we'll get you. And honestly, when you're a kid and you work on a farm, you bring in the hay, you take out the manure. That's all you do, okay? And so I'm down cleaning out the stalls, and somebody comes and goes, oh, man, oh, Rand, it stinks in here. I said, what, really? I don't smell anything. Or I'd be down cleaning and in the barn and come running up to the house to Grandma, and she goes, wait, stop. You're not coming in the house stinking like that. I said, stinking like what? I don't smell anything. When you work in that stuff, that smell begins to permeate your hair and your skin and your clothes. And after a while, guess what? It doesn't stink anymore. And sin doesn't stink anymore. Because we have so saturated our minds and our hearts with selfishness and entertainment. We laugh at things that God hates. And it's sad that it doesn't stink like it should. God wants us to look at sin like he looks at sin. And he makes it real easy for us because he gives us some real clear pictures. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 3, God likens sin to the venom of serpents. Venomous serpents, poisonous snakes. I don't know about you, but I hate snakes. I really do. Years ago in North Carolina, one of our counselors was taking a shower. They thought their towel had fallen off the hook and landed around their neck when a snake got up on the rafters, slipped, and landed right around their neck. Wouldn't that be a cool way to wake up in the morning? I hate snakes. In one summer, I killed 4 copperheads all by myself. 2 of them I got with a lawnmower. That wasn't bad. But the other ones I had to get my hoe out, okay? I hate snakes. If all of a sudden a bunch of rattlesnakes and copperheads came from underneath that door, started weaving their way underneath these pews, this side of the room would have instant revival. They'd all be up in the pews waving their hands. I hate snakes. But they tell me, if you're smart, if you look closely at a snake's eyes, if they're round, they're non-poisonous. They're not going to hurt you. But if they're slanted, they're poisonous. I'm not getting that close to that snake. If there's a snake, you know what I'm going to probably do? I'm going to stay as far away from it as I possibly can. Hey, Mom, Dad, you want to teach your kids a great principle of life? Don't just stay away from sin. Stay away from temptation. Lord, lead us not to temptation. Stay as far away. It is interesting that every time God gives a picture of sin, it is something that normally and naturally we will run from. In Romans 3, he likens sin to the stench of a rotten sepulcher, human flesh decaying. I personally have never smelled it, but I've talked to some firemen who have. They said, Rand, it is so horrible. If you go in a building, especially after a day or two, unless you have an oxygen mask, you cannot stand it. It is something you normally and naturally run from. 2 Peter chapter 2, God likens sin to the vomits of dogs. I don't know about you, but I hate that stuff. The looks, the smell, I hate little chunks of my teeth. Oh, I hate to throw up, I really do. I was preaching one night, 250 teens. I was going along, and the guy's sitting pretty close to where you're sitting, sir. And all of a sudden, he turned green and purple, and he jumped up in front of all these kids. I'm thinking, oh, no. And he took his hand, put it on his mouth like this. He was so sick, he turned, and when he threw up, he sprayed everybody that was on the other side. There were kids with chunks of macaroni on their sleeves. It was sick. When I was at Bob Jones, they had this huge auditorium, kind of a slanted floor, cement underneath your feet. And all I remember is sitting there, and a guy behind me just tapped me on the shoulder. I leaned back, and he just said this, lift your feet. I didn't know why he said it, but I did it, and I'm glad I did, because 2 rows back, a guy had gotten sick, and it was a juicy one, you know. So I didn't know what to do. I tapped the girl in front of me and said, lift your feet, okay? 7 rows down. Now, be honest. I know we're laughing, but if somebody got up right now and ran out in the lobby and heard that, the splat, you're not going to run out and think, oh, cool, Honey Nut Cheerios. No, we don't do that. It's something you normally, naturally run from, stay away from. That's how God pictures sin. He does give us one more picture in 2 Timothy. He likens it to the deadliest of all diseases. In the Bible time, it was leprosy. Horrible disease. Highly contagious. They had to live in their own little colonies. If they came around people that didn't have leprosy, they had to cry out, unclean. They couldn't worship in the temple. Highly contagious. No cure. You get leprosy, you die. So if you knew somebody had leprosy, you would not drink from their cup or eat from their silver. Why? Because you don't want to get leprosy. You don't want to die. So you stay away. So I have to ask us all, what sin does God hate but you love? What sin does God want you to run from but you run to? Because you have held on to that lust, that worry, that fear, that greed, that disbelief in your God for years. And have struggled with it over and over and over and over again. If you don't hate your sin, you'll never separate from it. So to understand the fear of the Lord, number one, dig in. Number two, despise sin. And as we close, look at chapter 14, verse 2. Proverbs 14, verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways literally despises the Lord. Number one, dig in. Number two, despise sin. Number three, desire Him. Say it with me. Desire Him. What does it mean to fear God? Hate what He hates. Sin. Love what He loves. You getting up in the morning and spending time with Him. And the wholesome dread of displeasing Him. Are you scared to see Jesus? I hope not. You don't need to be. Are you afraid to die? A number of years ago, I'd flown down to North Carolina to help with one of their pastors' conferences. It was one of those days I wasn't feeling good. The guys were telling me I had to do some skits. I said, I'm too old. You guys do your own skits. They said, no, we don't know how to do it. You got to do it anyway. And I said, guys, you're going to give me a heart attack or something. Leave me alone, okay? Well, later that morning, I just had terrible indigestion, you know, and as any good, solid man would do, you find that pink medicine and drink a bottle of it, you know? So I drank that down, and then I went home for lunch, and Amber said, you ready to eat? I said, no, I'm just not feeling good. Laid down on the couch, which I shouldn't have done, and all of a sudden, it started coming on. I thought, oh, boy, I'm having a heart attack. I don't want to scare Amber. I said, hon, I'm really feeling really, really bad. How about we go to urgent care, okay? But I called the nurse in between. I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. And so as we pulled out of the drive, she's driving, the nurse stopped us, hands me a little bottle that I still carry in my pocket, nitro. It took three of those to get to the hospital. When we got to the first hospital, they just threw me into an ambulance. So we're racing down the road to Asheville, North Carolina. There, I hear them calling code blue, we're losing him. And I'm looking as close as I can out the window. We are flying. Time we got to Asheville, in like no time, the guys, five guys, surgeons, had a gurney or something. They threw me on it. I literally, within 60 seconds, was in the operating room. They shoved something up my leg and found out it was a camera. And they went right into my heart. There's a great big flat screen TV. Would have been fun to watch Clemson last night on it. And the flat screen TV right there. And all of a sudden, these guys raced around. We're losing. Code blue. And it hit me. I'm going to die. And I have to say, I am as normal and ordinary as every single, I'm just me, okay? I am not super anything. I wasn't scared. I thought, oh, I'm going to die. What do you think about? Remember my first car was a 1965 Mustang. Dress, you guys have no idea in your colleges how to dress cool. Because when I was in college, we had platform shoes and leisure shoots, man. Did you know I didn't think of a car? I didn't think of an item of clothing. You're going to think about people you love. I think my poor Anna, she had just gotten married like 3 weeks before. I said, okay, Scott's there. He'll take care of her. My son and his wife, they couldn't have kids, and they'd already been married like 9 years. And they were expecting just in a couple months. I thought, okay, well, I get to see the little guy in heaven. I thought, oh, poor Amber. This is not a good time to leave. And why I thought this, I don't know. I don't even have my taxes done yet. But I thought of that. I did. And then honestly, I thought about the kids in New England. I'd only been there 2 years. And all these plans, these were my friends. I love those kids. I'm going to do all I can to help them to know God and love God. And that was the point. I was a little disappointed saying, God, I'm not done yet. And it hit me. I am going to see Jesus. And all of a sudden, I thought, whoa. Oh, I'm going to cry. Do I shake his head? I'm going to cry. How do you say hi to God? I'm going to cry. I'm going to fall in front of him and cry. And all of a sudden, I realized I was going to see him. And at that second, I heard somebody say, there it is. And they found the blood clot that had busted loose and went up on top of my heart. And it had been 3 hours, no blood. And they stuck this like vacuum cleaner all the way up there. And I felt it go. It went, and I felt it go. I could feel the blood on my heart. And my first thought was, stink. I am this close of seeing my Lord. Oh well, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh. Are you afraid to see God? I'm glad I went through that. I love what I do. I love preaching to kids, encouraging them to know my God. But I'm not afraid to see my Lord. Because I just want to say thank you. Because I, of all people, do not deserve salvation. I grew up thinking that was for you good people. and I'm too bad, and it doesn't matter how bad I am, my wonderful Lord forgave me and saved me. I'm going to see him. You know what God wants from us? To fear him. To hate everything he hates, sin. Because sin is the only thing that will keep us from him. To love everything he loves, spend that time with him, to have that dread of displeasing him. The greatest gift that you can give God is simply do what he asks you to do, and that's to fear him. Let's bow our heads, please. I don't know how to make it more simple than I've tried to do this morning. We make it too hard. Just spend time with your God. Run away from sin. Grow in your relationship with him. In Sunday school, we studied how to know God, and today, this service, how to fear God. Every single one of us will stand, or I should say kneel before him someday. We're gonna do that. Every one of us in here. I hope you're ready to meet God. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask the guys to sing a song, but we're going to keep our heads bowed that deals with what it really means to abide in Christ, okay? But how many would simply say, Rand, you mentioned a word in Sunday school, mediocre, that's me. I just do enough to lessen the guilt a little bit. And my desire to spend time with God and to be in his word has been lacking. I mean, Fox News gets much more than God does. Pinterest and Facebook a lot more. And you would just say, Rand, just pray for me that God would challenge my heart, that I would not just have the desire but follow through to spend more precious real time with him. I will make it work. Please pray for me. I've been failing in that way. Can I see your hands? And I'll pray for you. God bless you. Many, many hands. That's great. God bless you. Don't raise your hand, but what is the sin that you keep running to? The sin that makes you comfortable and that doesn't even make sense. But you do it over and over. What sin do you need to learn to hate as much as God hates it? Wholesome dread of displeasing you. The more time you spend with God, the more you'll love what he loves and hate what he hates. And the more you will grow in that dread of displeasing him. In other words, spending time with God, getting to know your God, increases your fear of God. And what is the conclusion of life? Fear God. Fear God. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this church and these precious people. Father, they're not here by accident. They have made an effort to be here today because they do know you and want to know you better and more. Help us to stop playing church. Help us to stop just tipping our hat to you, but to truly fear you. May we increase, as many raise their hands, may we increase in our knowledge of you as we just simply sit down and grab your word and read it, and memorize it, and meditate on it, and let it impact our lives. Help us, dear Lord, to so hate sin, because we know the sin that crawls into our lives, it does. It puts this tension between us and you. And there's none of us in here that want that. Help us, dear Lord, to fear you. And then help us to be such an example that these teens and kids that we love can follow us as we follow you. Lord, help us all this coming special month of December, Christmas time, to give to you what you ask of us, to simply abide in you.